Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Reed Pence. This week, the myth and reality of living with hemophilia.
People think of hemophilia that if you cut us, that we'll bleed out, and that's not the case.
Bleeding disorders when Radio Health Journal returns.
When it comes to health insurance, understanding what you'll pay for covered services, prescriptions, and supplies is important, especially if you have a chronic condition like diabetes. Now, there's a new tool to help people with diabetes save money on test strips. Know My Copay is a website and nationwide telephone service that tells you the lowest copays for the top five brands of diabetes test strips in the market based on your individual health plan. Here's consumer advocate and nationally syndicated columnist Jim Miller.
Figuring out health coverage can be confusing. Know My Copay is a valuable free service that can help people maximize their healthcare dollar. By comparing the out-of-pocket cost of the various diabetes test strips available, people can make educated decisions about the products they use.
Know My Copay is sponsored by LifeScan, maker of OneTouch brand blood glucose monitoring systems. Find the lowest copay for your test strips at knowmycopay.com or by calling toll-free 1-844-807-8936. That's knowmycopay.com.
Most people have heard of the rare bleeding disorder hemophilia, even though it affects only about 20,000 people in the United States. But while the condition is well known, myths abound as to just what hemophilia means for the person who has it.
People think of hemophilia that if you cut us, that we'll bleed out, and that's not the case. People with hemophilia bleed longer, not more. So if you get a cut, it will bleed longer. It'll be harder to stop the bleeding, but you won't bleed out from a cut, depending on, of course, the severity of the cut.
That's Val Bias, who has hemophilia and is CEO of the National Hemophilia Foundation. He says 99% of all people with the disorder are male, since it's a sex-linked gene passed from mother to son through the X chromosome. Sometimes females who carry the gene also have mild symptoms. Most people think of cuts as being most dangerous to people with the disorder, but it's actually internal bleeding that hurts most.
Hemophilia will manifest itself in the person's body, mostly in joint bleeding, so elbows, knees, shoulders, hips, ankles. That's generally where the bleeding will take place, although if you are severe, you can bleed anywhere. You're just more likely to bleed into your joints than you are your tissues. You will bruise anywhere, though. A joint bleed can be as painful as breaking a bone, especially if you've bled into that joint before. It can be a real obstacle to everyday life. And you learn, you know what a bleed feels like, what it looks like. So it makes you a little cautious after you've had a few.
Bias says that every bleed into a joint has a crippling effect.
You'll have less motion in that joint. It'll get tighter as every bleeding episode takes place. And each time you bleed into that joint, it'll get a little worse. You'll lose a little bit more movement. You'll lose a little bit more ability to use it. So by the time you're an adult or late teens, you could need a joint replacement. Now, thankfully, today, the products are so good that we don't see a lot of joint replacement in the population today. But somebody my age, and I have severe factor 9, I've had one knee replacement, an ankle replacement, and a knee replacement scheduled for October of this year.
What is remarkable is that it can be spontaneous. That means you don't get hurt, you're not injured, you're not in a trauma situation, but you still ended up having bleeding into your joint. That is more common in the severe variety. So there are three forms of this: mild, moderate, and severe. In the severe variety, the spontaneous bleeds are more common than in the mild and moderate varieties.
That's Dr. Sanjay Ahuja, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine and Director of the Hemostasis and Thrombosis Center at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital in Cleveland.
A person with hemophilia can have spontaneous bleeding into his joints, into his muscles, or any other internal organ. So it is a life-threatening in that sense. If you have bleeding into a organ, such as brain, for example, which could be life-threatening. So they can have spontaneous bleeding. The hallmark, though, is bleeding into joints.
He says if bleeding into joints occurs, it destroys cartilage until eventually sufferers have excruciating pain from bone rubbing against bone.
Fortunately, nowadays we don't see that very often. In the olden days when there was no treatment, we used to see this quite often. Nowadays we still see arthritis developing because you just need one episode, only one episode of bleeding into the joint for early forms of arthritis to start developing. So really the crucial thing is to prevent that from happening altogether right from childhood. The best way to prevent arthritis from developing is for the joint to never bleed. We call this form of therapy prophylaxis. That means you're preventing any bleeds, for that matter, happening. They're missing a vital protein, so the therapy would be to replace the missing protein. The replacement is called the recombinant factor 8.
The FDA approved a new recombinant factor 8 drug just this past March called Covaltry. The drug can be used every other day in children to help reduce the frequency of bleeding episodes.
We have come a long way in the treatment of hemophilia. We have come from a position where we were treating bleeds or not at all to a place where now we are not only preventing bleeds but also ensuring quality of life that is as close to normal as possible. The life expectancy of somebody with hemophilia is pretty close to a normal life expectancy. It's still not perfect, but it is pretty close. They can do a majority of the things that a normal person can do as long as you are on the right therapy and you take it regularly. As I said, if you're missing the protein, the only way to make somebody's clotting mechanism normal is to replace the missing protein.
But this and other modern treatments were not available when Bias was growing up, so he and others like him lived through a nightmare of clotting factor replacements through the years.
The bleeding disorders community has faced many complications over the years as it relates to the development of products to treat the bleeding disorder. So the first thing that we were treated with beyond whole blood was plasma-based products, fresh frozen plasma and cryoprecipitate.
Those treatments were derived from small pools of blood donors and infused into the patient. Bias says they helped a little bit, but not much.
The next iteration was fractionized factor that was made from larger pools of plasma, primarily like pools of 15 to 20,000 people. So the early years of clotting factor, even in the plasma years, produced hepatitis B. That was a natural sort of side effect of blood transfusions. And people knew that. We found that out in World War II, where the first blood transfusions were given to soldiers in the field, and lots of them ended up with hepatitis B. For hemophilia, that was a risk factor that was considered before you would give somebody plasma, but given that giving them nothing was going to potentially jeopardize their life, everybody got hepatitis B.
Then in the 1980s, the plasma pooling process exposed the hemophilia community to HIV. 10,000 patients, including Bias, were infected.
And many of them died during that time period. And that's because the pooled plasma and the collection process led to contaminated donations, and any one contaminated donation would infect the entire lot of clotting factor that was produced. So it was a very effective transmission device for people who used the clotting factor.
Tragically, Bias unknowingly passed HIV to his wife, Katie. She didn't survive.
So I lost my wife to HIV in 1992. My first wife, Katie, contracted HIV from me and died. So that was profoundly sad for me. a very tragic situation, something that I had to live with, learn to live with. I certainly blame myself and her 5 years of deterioration until she finally passed away.
Then in the 1990s, many of these same patients discovered they'd been exposed to yet another disease, hepatitis C. That disease then became the largest killer of people with hemophilia. Fortunately, today, there are drugs that treat it.
Within the bleeding disorders community, those of us who were infected were hard to treat because we were likely living with HIV and hepatitis C. But those drugs did prove to be useful. We had to fight to get access to them. In most cases, we had to fight to get access to HIV drugs and then fight to get access to the hepatitis C drugs. But I'm happy to say that for many in our community who were seeing that they were going to survive HIV and probably die of hepatitis C, that those drugs have been a great success with 95 to 98% cure rates. I cleared my hepatitis C in November of 2014.
However, hemophilia isn't the only inherited bleeding disorder that exists. Von Willebrand's disease is actually much more common. It also causes bruising, some joint bleeding, and affects male and female patients equally.
So people who bruise easily or bleed, nosebleeds and other things like that, should probably have themselves checked. For women, it can be very difficult. They have heavy menstrual cycles lasting 2 or more weeks. It can be a real challenge with pregnancy. It can be very debilitating. And part of that debilitation is that because hemophilia is known as a male disorder, doctors dismiss their bleeding as something that can be treated. And they're told all the time that you just have a heavy menstrual cycle. You're just a bleeder. But they don't associate it with something that can be treated. And there are treatments for von Willebrand's disease.
Bias says that men with von Willebrand's disease go largely undiagnosed, and that can be life-threatening.
They get themselves into an accident or surgery, and they do have von Willebrand's disease, and nobody knows it. It can have a negative effect on their outcomes. They can die from it. Von Willebrand's disease is not easy to diagnose. We can treat you if we think you have a bleeding disorder, but trying to figure out exactly what kind of von Willebrand's disease that you have is very difficult. Government information about it says it can take up to 16 years to isolate the type of von Willebrand's disease that you might have. There are essentially 6 types of von Willebrand's disease. At least one of them looks like mild hemophilia, so it can be very difficult to diagnose, which makes it very frustrating for the patient.
With a bleeding disorder that's inflicted so many tragic losses and monumental challenges, you may wonder how Bias has managed to live a meaningful life. But he says the death of his first wife, Katie, was a turning point.
That was a big change in my life in terms of my psyche and my commitment to doing something to impact the world as we know it. I would have to say the biggest impact on my life has been battling chronic illnesses that were contracted during the treatment of my hemophilia, sort of altering my perspective on life and my ability to lead a normal sort of existence. But I've tried to make it a positive in my life and put my energy into serving other people, doing the work with the bleeding disorders community. I was camp director for kids with bleeding disorders for many, many years and certainly enjoyed that work as well. I've really tried to look at the glass as being half full.
You can learn more about both of our guests and about bleeding disorders by visiting our website at radiohealthjournal.net. Our writer this week is Polly Hansen. I'm Reed Pence.
Medical notes this week. Death certificates don't usually mention medical mistakes as a cause of death, but a new study suggests that maybe they should. The study in the journal BMJ finds that medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States, accounting for more than 250 deaths every year. Researchers say it's not because of bad doctors, but rather a result of systemic problems such as poorly coordinated care and fragmented insurance network. The study concludes that only heart disease and cancer kill more Americans than medical mistakes. Happy marriages apparently make men more likely to get a colonoscopy. A study in the journal Preventive Medicine finds that older married men are about 20% more likely to have had a colonoscopy in the past 5 years than single men. And if they're in a happy marriage, that advantage climbs to nearly 30%. If the wife is highly educated, married men are 40% more likely to get a colonoscopy. But women, married or single, their colonoscopy rates are the same. Heart bypass surgery doesn't last forever, and a new study shows that many patients aren't taking the medications meant to keep bypass grafts open. Bypass recipients are often prescribed statin drugs and aspirin, but the study in the American Journal of Cardiology shows that only about half of patients take both as prescribed. Most take only one. Scientists say that most career criminals start their antisocial behavior as toddlers. Now they've found a way to identify those children most at risk of carrying on that behavior beyond the terrible twos. A study in the American Journal of Psychiatry finds that those children display what's called callous, unemotional behavior, including lack of empathy, lying, and little emotion. That kind of behavior is encouraged by harsh, negative parenting. The good news is that high levels of positive reinforcement can reverse antisocial behavior. And finally, older men with enlarged prostates often make numerous trips to the bathroom every night, but a new study indicates that a synthetic nasal spray hormone could help them get a good night's sleep. The study presented to the American Urological Association shows that the spray prompted most patients to make at least two fewer trips to the bathroom each night by delaying the production of urine for 4 to 6 hours. And that's Medical Notes this week. More in a moment.
Thank you for listening to Radio Health Journal, a production of MediaTrax Communications. If you enjoyed this week's show, please leave a review on iTunes or share it with a friend. You can find more Radio Health Journal stories about health, science, and technology on iTunes, Stitcher, and at radiohealthjournal.net.